Well, and Ryan, I think this is a good time to go back to your point earlier. J.B. Pritzker, governor-elect, coming into office, is a proponent, is pro-legalizing recreational marijuana in the state. I believe Mike Madigan might also fall on the pro side. So when J.B. has talked about this, has he addressed these concerns that we're talking about? Like what Lee has just talked about, you legalize it, but then what are you going to do with criminal justice reform? Or medical marijuana?
Yeah, he definitely has. I think it checks a few different political boxes for him, which maybe explains his support for it. So certainly it addresses criminal justice reform. So addressing this issue addresses a lot of the things that Lee has been talking about. Reducing opioid overdoses and making that trade-off even easier than it already is with the new state permissive environment earlier this year. That's two. And then for him, politically, the revenue coming in from legalizing marijuana would give him, you know, that kind of political freedom to actually do some things that previous governors haven't been able to do because they've been kind of hamstrung by state finances.
So you're getting on a point that I think a lot of people are very curious about. I know we've gotten some texts even before this evening about this. So a lot of politicians do talk about that legalization of marijuana would allow for the states to tax and regulate it and then therefore bring in a lot more revenue. Could you first put a dollar amount on that? What are they talking about as far as how much money could be coming in the state of Illinois?
Okay, so the kind of the prevailing view is a lot of money. So so Governor-elect Pritzker has used numbers between like $700 million and $1 billion annually in new tax revenue. A more recent report that came out of the Illinois Economic Policy Institute and the Project for Middle Class Renewal at U of I pegged it at about $525 million annually in new tax revenue for state and local government. So like $500 million for state, $20 million for local. And that is sort of based on going with a tax rate of like 32.5%, something like that. It's similar to what Colorado did. And there's also a possibility of savings for law enforcement. If they're dealing with a lot less of these types of marijuana-involved crimes, what do you save? $18, $20 million annually, something like that. That money, that could do a lot of things in Illinois, having $500 million to play with every year.
So let's talk about that. In terms of the state's finances, what could a number like $525 million do for us in a state that, let's be honest, historically not great fiscally speaking?
Well, I have not heard that, but that is good to know.
Oh, I'm glad that I could break that down for you.
So I think more interesting than the fight over whether or not marijuana will be legalized is, okay, if it is, what happens to the money? And that certainly will be the dominant, I think, discussion point in Springfield if it does come up in 2019 like we expect it to. So the overall state budget is like $37 billion in terms of general funds. So think of $500 million in that kind of context. The new school funding formula that passed last year and started, that money has started to roll, that produced an additional $350 million for K-12 schools. So think of that, we kind of thought of that as a nice new chunk of change that came in. That was $350 million, so this may be more than that, not all going to schools. But I like to think of things in terms of higher education. So, I sort of work in a higher education environment. Many of you in the room may as well. It was big news when the state approved a new $25 million scholarship program for Illinois students recently. So something like a small piece of the money could go to something like that, and that would, potentially have an impact. But you can also make the argument you just got to dump all the money toward unpaid bills and pension obligations. What happens?
Yeah. Right. We actually had an audience member here tonight ask if it would go to fund social services of any kind or if there's any conversations around putting the money back into the state in that way.
I really don't know. I don't want to lie to you. I think that's what the fight is going to be over is how that pie is carved up.
So, Lee, we also got an audience question about buying recreational marijuana if it becomes illegal. So, will people be required to get a card or a license to purchase recreational marijuana? How is that going to work?
No. So it will be a situation where you will have to have an ID that proves that you are 21 or older. And the original legislation that was introduced in 2017 put a cap on about an ounce, 28 grams. So they legalized possession up to 28 grams. So I don't think you'll be able to walk into a dispensary and like buy the whole stock out.
So do you think it would be fair to compare it to the purchasing of alcohol, for example?
Yes. I would say it's like purchasing alcohol, but I don't know if anyone in the audience has been to certain liquor stores in Brooklyn, but certain liquor stores in Brooklyn, you walk in and it's like completely like bulletproof glass everywhere. I think it's going to be more like that than like, you know, a Binny's or something like that.
Okay, so Ryan, even if leaders of the Democratic Party in Illinois continue to support this, as you mentioned, it's going to be a big change. There's going to be a lot of friction around it at the end of the day. So where do you see the pain points and the friction happening?
Certainly with how the revenue is going to be carved up. I think people tend to think of the lottery as sort of a parallel to this or an analog to this. With the creation of the Illinois Lottery back in like the early 70s, people had this almost a misconception initially that it was going to be all for education funding, and that has certainly played out in an interesting way. I think only like 6% of school funding comes from the lottery these days, and it's sort of limited, and it goes to other stuff, capital projects, all that jazz. So like deciding where the money will go and then finding some way to actually ensure that that happens year after year and that the public is kind of aware of that. The amount of local control that is given to communities will be interesting, I think, to see. Do you want stores in your community? Do you want to allow that? Is that something the legislature is going to give communities the ability to decide for on their own?
And just a side note, there are places in California and Massachusetts, I believe, that have created zoning laws that prevent dispensaries from being there, despite the fact that both of those are now legal states. So that's potentially something that would happen in Illinois.
So I would actually like to dive a little deeper into this idea. So we've talked a little bit about Fed versus state, but let's talk about state versus local. Ryan, I'm going to start with you, but I'd love to hear from both Christine and Lee as well. What outside of this example here do you see being issues, ways in which those two entities are going to clash on this topic?
Well, I don't know. In our community, at least, so I live in Bloomington Normal, McLean County. It's sort of a red county with a bunch of blue and purple in the middle of it in terms of its politics. And so this, it would create an interesting dynamic there where we have, for example, our sheriff, McLean County Sheriff, a guy named John Sandage, in a recent interview in our station was talking about, I am vehemently opposed to legalizing marijuana. I think there's serious health risks, et cetera, et cetera. How are law enforcement folks, especially downstate, going to react to a blue legislature doing this if it does happen? So I think from a local state perspective, that dynamic will be really interesting.
And from a criminal justice perspective, too, I saw and read through the same report that Ryan mentioned, the tax revenue estimates, and also they estimated about $18 million would be saved in law enforcement costs. I took that with a big grain of salt because I don't know what is to prevent a local sheriff's department or police agency from suddenly stopping the enforcement of marijuana laws, because even if we do legalize, tax, and regulate it, there will still be some illegal uses of the drug and also illegal cultivation of the drug. The black market is not going to disappear overnight. So I wonder, you know, will they still heavily target law enforcement resources towards that? And then thus, you know, any potential savings, at least in that town or in that jurisdiction, would be lost.
And Christine, did you have anything? So I'm kind of curious. This is really just speaking strictly from the commercial model then. Not necessarily from this idea that they would legalize people being able to grow or cultivate their own or anything like that. We are strictly speaking from a commercial model.
That's what I understand at the moment. I did a story a while ago about why people who are medical cannabis patients in Illinois are not allowed to grow their own cannabis because, as Christine pointed out, you cannot get coverage of this from your insurance company, and that has priced people out of the medical market, especially people who may be older who are living on fixed incomes. And the answer that I got to that is that it just wasn't politically viable, that the particularly the law enforcement agencies in the state said, no, we do not want people growing their own marijuana in their house. We absolutely, that's a no-go from us. And it was so hard to pass medical marijuana. That's what I find really interesting about this. It took like 10 years to pass medical marijuana pilot program in Illinois, and we're already talking about recreational. It just kind of shows you how things have changed here. But anyway, it was politically not viable for them to allow patients to do that on their own. Again, you know, things have changed a lot on the political landscape. So is that going to be a done deal? Is that going to be dead on arrival in Springfield next year? I don't know, but if I had to guess, I would probably say yes.
Well, and if I had to guess, it also comes from this idea that you want to be able to tax it. You want to be able to...
Exactly. Then that you would get rid of the economic benefits of it. So,
yeah. So, Christine, when we're talking about medical marijuana, do you see any downsides to legalizing recreational marijuana?
So I don't actually know what would happen to the medical cannabis pilot program if recreational became legalized, but I have asked some of the people in the medical cannabis community in Illinois this question of, like, you know, if you legalize recreational, doesn't that kind of solve your concerns about the future of this pilot program? And they were like, well, sort of, because, you know, more people could have access, but there are certain strains I learned that you can only get through the medical dispensaries, which I didn't know about. So there are people who are still hoping that the medical cannabis program will continue to be extended.
And Ryan, as you talk to lawmakers, both on the Democratic and Republican side from all over the state, what have they said about this kind of like medical marijuana versus recreational and how they might affect one another or how they might change one another?
Well, I can't speak to that, but I do want to speak to kind of the momentum that is behind this effort in Springfield. It seems like they're going to try to attach this to the same pieces of legislation that that was attached to last year. So last year, a state senator named Heather Staines and state representative Kelly Cassidy introduced this earlier in the year. Didn't pass, obviously, or we wouldn't be talking about it. But Pritzker has talked about how basically those bills will be the model for what he expects to come back to the legislature in 2019 and to move that forward. So in our area, we are talking to a lot of Republicans. So in McLean County, it's, again, pretty red county. Yesterday interviewed State Senator Bill Brady, who's a Republican minority leader, and he is opposed to legalizing marijuana, again, citing kind of the health risks to it. But that's not the only, you know, viewpoint in the Republican Party, even. State Senator Jason Berrickman, who I think has ties to this community, he lives in Bloomington now. He is way more open-minded. He's actually hosting an event tomorrow, the next day, in Bloomington, talking to the business community about legalizing marijuana. He's, you know, very open to the idea, wants a seat at the table if it does happen. So the diversity of viewpoints on it is a little wider than I expected, especially on the Republican side of the aisle.
Before we wrap this official panel discussion, we are going to do a Q&A after intermission. So I'll remind you, if you have any questions that any of these panelists have kind of like inspired you to ask, 217-394-5765. So as we wrap up, I want to hear from each of you. We can start with Lee. So we're going to obviously be following this issue as we go into 2019. So what are the biggest questions that you have as we head into that new year?
One thing that I wasn't able to touch on in this discussion is this sort of issue of equity in the marijuana industry. That has become a big topic of discussion and actually a topic of legislation, again, in California, to increase minority and also people who are low income, their participation in the marijuana marketplace, because historically, those are the people who have been hurt by the criminalization of marijuana. So I am very curious to see if that discussion happens here in Illinois, the way that it has happened on the coasts. I'm also very interested to see whether or not any sort of recreational marijuana legislation also includes criminal justice reforms to deal with the records that people may have and also the individuals who may be incarcerated currently for it.
For me, it's probably, in addition to the how the revenue is going to get split up, it's how friendly is the program going to be to tourism. So Michigan, as some of you may know, just legalized recreational marijuana through ballot question on the election in November. But we would be the first state, you know, touching us to really do that. And, you know, how friendly would the legislation be? Would it allow tourists who cross state lines to have less marijuana than a state resident? Would there be restrictions on where you can smoke it? Like in your hotel room, is that cool? Or is there going to be, like, are hotels going to set up spaces on the streets and parks? Like, how friendly are they going to make this thing to visitors? Because there will be visitors, especially for the first, it will be the visitors.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, if anyone knows on the panel, I believe in other areas that has been a big question and you can't do it. You have to do it in private residence, not public. So like if you are staying in a hotel, you can't go down to your local dispensary and then bring it back to your hotel, is my understanding.
Yeah, okay. I think that in Colorado, there's been some litigation over like these tour buses, like buses full of people who are kind of like going in, cruising around, smoking in the bus. Like, is that cool?
I mean, it'd be a fun ride.
Sounds really fun. Yeah, so I'd like to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, I have questions, and I'm wanting to learn more just about the marketing side of this, because for any business to be profitable, they need to increase users. I mean, they need to make sales. So, you know, from a public health perspective, that's a concern you'll hear from people that, you know, because it'll increase either use or frequency, or that they'll, you know, aggressively market the way that, you know, alcohol and tobacco industries have done. And, you know, these companies, you know, alcohol and tobacco have been found to make a lot of their profits from users who have serious addiction issues. That's been demonstrated. And, you know, a Department of Revenue study from Colorado from a few years ago found that in Colorado, 90% of the demand for marijuana was going to like the 30% of the heaviest pot users there. So it's just concerns about how this might fuel addiction for some
and
people.
Capitalizing and off someone's addiction, right? Like yeah. Making money off of them.
Yeah. And then, you know, you hear also about marketing and, you know, we've heard about e-cigarettes a lot in teens, you know, even though it's not legal for teens, they're getting their hands on it. Like, you know, I'm a parent, so I'm concerned, like, are my kids going to be like sharing gummy bears with like, I don't know, marijuana? I don't know. Those are things that I'm keeping my eye on as this continues to, you know, roll out in other places and asking questions about how will it be regulated here so that aggressive marketing towards either, you know, young people, because like I said, up till age 25, your brain is still developing. And also for people with addiction, yeah.
So we are going to take a quick intermission. A few quick things. If you have questions, again, you can text 217-394-5765. We're going to take a quick break. You can get a drink. We have pizza here as well. And then also you'll be entered to win a WILL hoodie if you text us a question. So there you go. But we'll be back.